already given over.
Now, a little bit of a comma. Okay, we're about to begin a brand new sugya, and we're getting into the sugya the same way we get into a lot of sugyas. Probably the next couple of weeks, and following the break. So we're going to get into a lot of sugyas almost derech agav, because the Gemara really has one agenda here. They're trying to figure out that there were three different lists of mazikin that are being thrown around in the Tanoim. So there's the list that appears in the Mishnah, the Abba Avos mazikin. Then there's a little bit more comprehensive list of Rabbi Osha that goes up to number 13, and then there's an all-inclusive list of Rabbi Chia that goes to number 24. Now, at the end of the day, there are probably very, very few machlokesim between these three lists. The real root of any machlokes in the list is not so much whether any given av is chayav or not, but it's whether it belongs in any given list, because some of the criteria that are used to determine whether something makes the list or not are almost, I don't want to say irrelevant halachic criteria, but they're not so relevant in terms of all you chayav to pay. There may be chayav about how you chayav to pay, the parameters of the chayav to pay. So, for example, one of the factors that the Gemara puts a lot of emphasis on in the Hamad Aleph is whether it's mamon or whether it's knas. Now, we already know that you chayav to pay whether it's mamon or it's knas. That doesn't make a difference. But there are some very real differences whether something is mamon. The obvious difference, most blatant difference, is that if something is mamon, then chados bal din kimei edim dami. A person walks into Beis Din and says, I broke the guy's window, I'm chayav to pay, even without edim. Whereas if something is merely a knas, such as dal b'hei, kefil, inis mefatach, lishim, etc., those kinds of things, if a person walks in and says, I did it, so whether the knas is potter. So the Gemara says that fact of whether something is mamon or knas is critical in terms of how you're going to compile your list. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara throws a question. The Gemara says, wait a second, on top of Hamad Aleph, that if that's true that Rabbi Osha lists off all the mamon, and he dafka shies away from all the cases of knas, so frankly, the Gemara on the top of Hamad Aleph, Edom Zelman, the mamon, who listening? So why doesn't Rabbi Osha list off Edom Zelman? Because after all, Edom Zelman is mamon, right? Because after all, how do you usually define mamon? Mamon is usually when you're paying pretty much in sync with what you caused. So if I broke a window that was worth $100, so I pay $100, that's a mammon. If I steal an animal and it was worth $100, and I pay back $200, so the first 100 was mammon, the second 100 is knas. So Adam Zelman, our baseline of Adam Zelman, the starting point of Adam Zelman, is that it should be mammon. I see some chashas on losses liyachiv. I caused you $100 loss, now I got to pay $100. So therefore, Adam Zelman should have been on the list of mammon, and it's not. So Gemara says, "Sava like Rabbi Akiva." It must be that Rabbi Aisha was of the opinion like Rabbi Akiva. The Yom Eimisham Rabbi Atzmon. Rabbi Akiva happens to hold that Edim Zomun is Taka, not Mamun. Edim Zomun happens to be Knas, and that is reflected in Rabbi Akiva's statement. Rabbi Akiva actually never said the words Edim Zomun erased the Knas. Rabbi Akiva said Edim Zomun Eimisham Rabbi Atzmon. Now, built into that statement, Munach in that statement of Eimisham Rabbi Atzmon is the fact that it's a Knas. Because it's a Knas, therefore Eimisham Rabbi Atzmon. Why did Rabbi Akiva think it's a Knas? After all, it is commensurate with the damage. So the Gemara in Machas explains that it's not commensurate with the damage at all. Why not? Why is it not at all commensurate with the damage? Because there really was no damage. Nothing really happened. It was only Kasher Zomim. Now, whether that's true by Mammon or not, remember, Kasher Zomim, Kasher Osa, but in the end of the day, the money's going to go back. So at the end of the day, the person never really experienced a loss. So the bottom line is the Edom are paying above and beyond the call of duty. That's what we call, in the words of that immortal policeman on the corner of Rehov Yafo, a knas chinuchi. That hopefully, if we penalize you, that knas chinuchi, so you're not gonna do it again. So that's exactly what Edom Zomim is. It's a knas, and therefore, in fact, it does not make the mark. Does not make the list of Rabbi Yoshia's mazikin. Doesn't mean Rabbi Yoshia holds it's potter. The pasuk says it's chayev. It just means that it's a different type of a different parameter of chayev, and therefore doesn't make the list of mamon. So, because of this opinion of Rabbi Akiva that has now become critical, this presentation of Rabbi Akiva that Eim Zomim Mishalim Piyatzman, it behooves us to understand what Rabbi Akiva said. So again, as the extension, the basic statement is that Eim Zomim is a kenas. And now this leads us to believe that Eim Mishalim Piyatzman. So the Gemara has this statement both here in Bava Kama Daf Hei as well as in Maseches Machas on Daf Beis on Beis, Gimel Aleph. And it really, really requires of us to take a few steps back and understand what those words mean. What does the case mean? First of all, what is the case? What are the parameters of the case? What is the impact of this case? And what is this all about? What is the significance of Rabbi Akiva's formulation? And then, at the very end, to figure out why does everybody else disagree with Rabbi Akiva? It depends what the therefore means. Rabbi Akiva made a statement. Rabbi Akiva's statement, the direct quote of Rabbi Akiva was that that's all Rabbi Akiva said. Now we figured out that there's only one way of explaining why that's true. The reason why is because it's a kenas. So you're right. Rabbi Akiva's statement, the arrow is going this way. But logically, first Rabbi Akiva had to figure out whether Eim Zomim is a kenas or not. The first question you have to ascertain is a logical question, is a theoretical, philosophical question, is Eim Zomim a kenas or a mamon? Once you figure out which way it is, then you can fill in the gaps and you can paskin in the Eim Zomim piyatsu. There would be no way to explain that. Why in the world would you be positive? It's regular mamon, so that if I say I broke a window, I pay. But why? Why should that be? So the answer is there's no reason why, therefore it's wrong. Okay, good. All right, good. So we know why Rabbi Akiva said it's a kenas. We understand, Shekain, they are paying more than they actually cause damage. And we understand that it didn't make the kenas potter. So everything here makes a lot of sense. So why are we spending a whole sugya learning it? So the reason why we're spending a whole sugya learning this is because there is a very, very real problem that the Rishonim tackle in the sugya, is to identify what the case is exactly. What do those words mean? What do the words mean when we say that Eim Zomimin are not Mishalim Abiyatzman? Give me a case. And particularly I want to know the timeline of such a case of Eim Mishalim and Eim Zomimin, Eim Mishalim Abiyatzman. So, l'chora, let's borrow the regular principle of Knas Abiyatzman and plug it into Eim Zomimin. What does it normally mean, Eim Mishalim Kefal Abiyatzman? What do those words usually mean? So that means a guy walks in the Beis Din and he reports to us the following. We have nothing to go on. We've never heard the case yet. The Beis Din is sitting and, I don't know, they're writing puzzles and they're Rosh Hashanah, they're being mounted, Ned there, they're deciding whether to go to Mechametz Rishus or not, doing Egla Rufus, whatever other business they're taking care of. And a guy walks in, mamish, out of nowhere, on a bright sunny day, and he says, I just want everybody here to know that I was Tevech Umeicher. So what's Beis Din's reaction to that statement? Well, wait a second. We're not accepting you. Get out of here. That's pretty much a regular standard case of Maid B'Knas Potter. Nothing happened. Nothing preceded the case. Beis Din knew nothing about it. The guy walks in and he says, I am Chayv Knas because I did X, Y, and Z. And Beis Din rejects him. They toss the case out. Maid B'Knas Potter. Yeah, yeah, okay, good, okay. We'll leave out the Karen part. A guy walks to the Beis Din and says, I don't know, gives another Knas, and he's much ashamed. It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm talking about just from the Knas vantage. So far, so good. So let's give the parallel case to Eidim Zomim. What would that mean in terms of Eidim Zomim? Because the guy would walk into the Beis Din, and he would say as follows, I just want you guys to know that I am an Eid Zomim. Two guys walking together. We want you guys to know we are Eidim Zomim. Now, what is munach in that statement of saying that we are Eidim Zomim? What are they, in effect, telling us? That in order to be an Eid Zomim, by definition, in order to be chayv as an Eid Zomim, there has to have been a what? An Eidim Hama Hazimin. It means literally to the definition of achich bin an Eid Zomim, it, within those words is that they're Eidim HaMazimin. So I, in effect, I'm walking into Beis Din, and I'm telling the Beis Din that there's already a case going on. There was already a proceeding. And I'm looking at the Beis Din themselves, and I'm saying, you guys were already what? You guys were already what? You guys already heard the Eidim HaMazimin. That's the case of Eid Zomim, Eid Mishalim Api Atzman. Let's go back to the case for a minute, back to the case of the Kefil or the Dal Zahay. It's not a bright sunny day in the middle of nowhere. It's the middle of a heated court case. Eidim have already come and said that Reuven stole and was Tevech Mocher, and the Bezin is deliberating and thinking, are they telling the truth? They're asking the Edom questions, they're ready to, the jury is sitting, they're ready sitting, they're trying to figure out what do we do? And then the Baal Din walks in, and you know what he says? Let me tell you guys something, I was Tevech Mocher. Ah, Baruch Hashem, thank you for doing tshuva. What do you think about that? You think that would be a Meid B'Knas Potter? What's wrong with that case? The case started already. Meid B'Knas Potter means a guy walks in and he jumps in before the Edom were made. If the Edom were already made, what's shaykh to talk about the case? The case is already started. You can't have a Meid B'Knas Potter once the case has started. How do I know that? What's the mark of what I'm saying? So it's a Tosfos written as sugya. Taisus written as sugya references the Gemara in Perek Merubah, where the Gemara speaks about the following. The Gemara says that, what's the din if I'm sitting here and I'm sitting around minding my own business, and all of a sudden I see there are two guys walking over to the court offices, walking into the din, and I overhear that conversation. You know what I hear them saying? You know that guy standing over there, that guy Reuven, remember last week we saw him Tovech HaMochi, we're going to get him into trouble now. And I got my spies, I overheard the conversation. What do? I run around the back door into Beis Din, slide into Beis Din right before those Edom come in, and I huffy up, tavachti umachati. What's the din? Ra Edom imashrish in uboyin, v'kad v'hoida. What's the din? The Gemara says, Meidim v'knas potter. Gemara says, as long as you beat those Edom into Beis Din, as long as you opened up your mouth before they opened up their mouth, you gave your hodah before they were made, the Gemara says, then it's okay, then Meid B'Knas is potter. The implication, says the Tosfos Rid, is that if the order was reversed, that they began to speak first, they were made first, and then you come in to give your hodah, even though the case wasn't complete, it wasn't closed yet, al zel onem, Meid B'Knas potter. That's not a hodah of Beis Din. That's not a hodah, that's already part of the case. So says the Tosfos Rid, it's a dover poshut ad ma'oid that the entire sugya of Meid B'Knas Potter only gets off the ground if we're talking about a hodah that is preceding a edus. If the order is reversed, that the edus is coming first, what kind of hodah is that? That's not a hodah, the bezin. That's not Meid B'Knas Potter. That's nothing. That's the Tosfos Rid's raya brua from the Seventh Bank of Bava Kamma. It's because of this problem that Tosfos Rid, formulates the beginning question that begins to puzzle and trouble all the Rishonim. Bishlama, by all other cases of Meid B'Knas, of Tavach U'Machar, of Kefil, of Chamishim, of Einis, Mefapteh, from Shloshim Shel Eved, from 100 of Meid Tishem, rather, you name, you pick your Knas, we can always construct a case where there's a Meid B'Knas before the case started. But by Edom Zayman, because of the very nature of Edom Zayman, because Edom Zayman is, by definition, by saying that you're an Edom Zayman, automatically means that the case has started, because you can only become an Edom Zayman once the case has started. You're not an Edom Zayman until the case starts, until there's an Edom Hamazimin. So by definition, there's never Hodor here. There is no, this is not Meid B'Knas Potter, this cannot be Meid B'Knas Potter. So the very fact that every Eid Zayman is presupposing that there was already Eidus in Beis Din, that pulls the rug out from under any possibility of being Meid B'Knas Potter. So what is it they keep talking about? How can they keep saying, Eidim, walk at the Beis Din, and they say, we are Eidim Zayman. So Beis Din gives them a pat on the head and says, thank you so much, Meid B'Knas Potter, you're good to go. We're never going to hear from you again. What do you mean? That's not Hodor. Because that's not called Hodor B'Beis Din. B'chlau. That's the kasha that the Rishonim were bothered with. So Rashi was the first one to be bothered with this kasha without even telling you. Very often Rashi is bothered with kashas. Rashi avoids questions that Rashi was thinking of. Sometimes Rashi tells you why he says certain things, and sometimes it's like something like this, what's bothering Rashi? Right? Those books. What's Rashi asking? What's Rashi's question? What's bothering Rashi? So Rashi, on the Hamad Aleph, when he begins to construct the case of Edom Zayman, Meid B'Knas Edom Zayman, Rashi starts telling you a whole creative case, a whole complicated, convoluted case. Why does Rashi give you such a convoluted case? Because Rashi is bothered with this kasha. What is the convoluted case that Rashi gives you? Anyone know? Rashi says, Sama could be Akiva.
The Amasek is Makas per Kama Eves and Mishampi Asmin. Kigayim, who's the reason there? So he speaks about Din Lamidam Bedin, with the Tova, the whole Kulamakamacher. The whole Dushan the Vezin, the other who's on the Vezin is a plenty, too, I'm a Knast, the Rebbe Knast Potter.
What did Rashi just add to this mix, to this chillant? It's a very brisk Rashi. What did Rashi just do? What did Rashi just add? What? A second Vezin. Rashi just said, there's something here that you're not noticing, says Rashi. There is, by definition, a second court going on here. Court number one, Beza number one, is where the original discussion of the original Eidos HaRishona was. And you know what else took place in the original Bezin? Eidos Hawa? Hamazimin took place. And now Bezin hasn't finished. Bezin finished the game already. They already Paskin Chayav, then it's over. It's done. It's history. What happens, says Rashi? At that moment, as soon as the aid of Hamazimin come, and this guy realizes he's in big trouble, he realizes there's only one way out, because he went to day camp, so he knows Rabbi Akiva Shita, that might be a Knas spot, and he knows that Eimzomen is a Knas, so he decides, he's got a trick up his sleeve, what does he decide to do? He's going to go be Maida. That's his goal. So where does he go, says Rashi? He darts out of the basement, runs out the back door like the other guy was coming in before. He runs out the back door, where does he go? Goes to another basement. He doesn't want to deal with the RCA's base. He runs to the Aguda base, a different base. He doesn't like the RCB's. He goes to the Bada Queen's base. He goes to a different base. And he finds another base in. And he comes to the base and starts telling us the following story. You won't believe it, guys. Listen to this one. I was in base in Pliny. And I was who's up in base in Pliny. And I want to offer my Hodor in this base in. And the new base in's listening. I'm hereby registering my Hodor. Now there's something gewaldic that's going to be accomplished. What is this guy accomplishing by registering his Hodor? Because you know what happens? Mode b'knas v'chakach what? Bo'edim is what? It's potter. So once he registers a legitimate Hodor on Beis Din, he'll never be found guilty again. Because even if the Edim catch up with him and they court cash him in the second Beis Din, by then it's too late. Mode b'knas v'chakach bo'edim potter. So all he wants, he's got one goal, one thing on his agenda, is to register a legitimate Hodor. So he obviously cannot register a legitimate Hodor on the first base. Then why is that? Why is that obvious, says Rashi, in between the lines? Why did Rashi have to bring him to the second base? And what's the answer? Because there was already a what? There was already testimony against him. The same thing the Gemara says, you can only register a Hodor Kozman that the Edom against you haven't opened up their mouths, even though they're under process. They're walking to the front door, you can go through the back door and register Hodor first. That's okay, says the Gemara in Bava Kamma in the seventh parak. But once the Edom opened up the mouths, then it's done. Then it's too late. So therefore Rashi was so bothered with this kasha. So therefore Rashi said the only way to explain that you can register a Hodor is to change the venue, change the case, change the location of the story, move you to a second base. Then, and in that second base, then you can tell the whole story. You're going to say the truth, the whole truth is nothing but the truth. You're going to say that you're a liar. You're going to say that this is what happened 20 minutes ago across the river. In the Tidek Basin, the guy speaking now in Queens, in the Tidek Basin, I testified, I was caught, they were mazing me, I'm agreeing, I'm admitting the Leif Shalom, I'm an Eid Zomim, 100,000,000% in Eid Zomim, we are Eid Zomim, register us please as Eid Zomim. I said, check Eid Zomim. What happens 2 minutes later? The other guys come, catch up, they also go out across get over the bridge, they get stuck in the car, in the non-carpool lane, and they quickly zoom over to Triborough, end up in Queens, run to the same base then, and they say, those guys, they're Adam Zerman. You know what the Bezin says? We open up our record, what does the record say? What do we have on record? We have a Hodor on record, sorry. We can't process the claim anymore. Sorry, it's too late. It's Hodor on record, and therefore, bye-bye. That's what happened, says Rashi. Alzeh Nema in the days of Rabbi Akiva, Alzeh Kibin Rabbi Akiva, what he said, Eim Zobin, Eim Mishalim Piyatzman. The reason why Rashi had to make up the second Bezin is because the first Bezin wouldn't be true. Because if they gave Hodor on the first Bezin, after the Eidos of Rishona, after the Eidos of Mezibin, now they didn't give Hodor. And now we're going to say, Amodim Kedas Harap Eidim Potter, it's ridiculous, such Hodor is not going to work. The only way for that Hodor to work is you got to move it to Bezin number two, and then we can register Hodor, and then Amodim Kedas V'chakach Bo Eidim Potter, and Shalom al Yisrael. But you got to make sure to move it to the second base. This is the key, according to Rashi, is the moving of the case to the second base.
What's the problem of just saying, like, a simple case that they then present, like, a case to say, Ruben Roshim, $100, and, like, 10 minutes later, before any other item come in, they say, by the way, we were just saying...
That's the Tosfos Rid's eventual case. It'll take us 3 days to get to that. Why did Rashi not go down that such a simple route that Avi just portrayed? It was so obvious, so it's going to take us some time to figure out why Rashi didn't say that. But we do know what Rashi did say. Okay, everyone saw the Rashi? Who here read the Rashi? Who here realized that the reason why Rashi introduced the second basis is because of this problem? Okay, now who here realizes that that's why Rashi introduced the second basis? All the reasons were accomplishing something, didn't you? Okay. Time to learn Kalabas or something, yeah.
So would Rashi say that with regard to the case on Ayin Tayin, the case of Ganafi Mechafi, meaning even after the Eidim come, if the guy went to a second
yeah, that, well, we want to see how far this statement of Rashi is going to go.
Why wouldn't Rashi just give the case of the Tosfos Rid?
You and Avi are in cahoots, right? That's Avi's cash, in effect. I mean, the Tosfos Rid case is...
I know, but what's wrong with the Tosfos Rid?
What is the Tosfos Rid case?
Where it's all in one court.
That's Avi's kasha. So we're gonna, the chora, the reason why that's such a problem, is because once the Edom HaMazimin came, it's too late. So Avi asked, let them be molded before the Edom HaMazimin came. That's your kasha, right?
I guess it is.
Good kasha. Ask Avi, he'll talk to that over Shabbos. Okay. Good. Rabbi, so who's with us? Yeah. We didn't say anything yet. Yeah.
Why does it happen that when they become putter in the second court,
they didn't
in the first court?
Wait. We got a lot to talk about. Yeah. How could they even make that statement that we are Edom Zomin? It's a not true statement. Kozman, there was no Gemara Din yet. So there was a Gemara Din. No, Rashi says, Huzamu Beis Dino Shoploni. Okay, so let's hold off of that until we get to Machas of Gimel. Okay? That's a good Ha'ara. Yeah. Wait. Let's talk first, then we'll answer questions later. Okay. Rabbi says, so again, I want everyone just to appreciate why Rashi felt compelled to say what he did. He didn't just say it because he wanted to make this more dramatic with guys running out of court and crossing bridges and running after each other. There was a reason for Rashi's scenario. And I want to appreciate what the significance of Rashi's scenario is. What did the Gemara tell us in Mabakam in the seventh perk? The Gemara said that there is a timeline that has to be met in order for the parasha made the kenas to kick in. And the timeline is, you must have a hodah pre-edus. This is chayt v'lo yavo. It's got to have a hodah pre-edus. You can have it, even though raw edim and mashra v'boin, that's okay, but must be pre-edus. So I don't understand. I don't understand, Rashi. Do you have a hodah pre-edus or not? In Rashi's new case, second basis, is there hodah pre-edus? There was an edus in the first basin already. Why doesn't the edus in the first basin preclude the possibility of hodah? What's munach in Rashi? A gevaldige gechiddush, and that's Rashi.
Somebody has to be
tovea. Not in the word tovea. Other Rishonim say tovea. What's the chiddush gadol that's licked in Rashi's work? Gold in between the lines of Rashi. Each basin on their own merits. That means any and every case of Edom Zomin, or for that matter, Knossos, you only look at the basin in front of you. What happened before it is prehistory. It's ancient, it's from the time of the dinosaurs. It's not relevant. What does the Torah say? You only ask questions about things from Bria Soilim and onwards. You don't talk about Bria Soilim. There's nothing to... The Torah itself tells us, don't ask those kashas. There's nothing to discuss. You're never going to know the answers anyway, so why wasting your time talking about it? Don't ask what happened before. Which is really a big pillar why there's an entire study, an entire world, an entire books and everything written about this topic, when the Torah Kedosh itself says, the Gemara Mechsech Chagiga tells us, Tosh Bapeh, that there are certain things that Kedosh Baruch Hu is telling us explicitly not to ask. But it's another question, not for now. So, l'chor, you see from this Rashi, Gaval de Kavart, that history begins in the basin that you're sitting in right then and there. What happened in last week's Beis Din is l'malav l'meirid. It's not a case, it's a different case. And therefore, in order to satisfy this precondition for hodos b'din to kick in, that you have to have a hodah pre-edus, and not vice versa, it's only determined by the timeline once you arrive in the basin that you're sitting in right now. What happened before him is mamish l'malav l'meirid.
What if there was a good idea in the first
place? Well, a different story. Okay. Just read what we have in front of us. So comes the Ktzois and made this discovery. Comes the Ktzois and says, you know, I wouldn't have known this on my own. I could have theoretically said that all the rules of Moda B'Kenas are all determined. You put together all the information, all the but they didn't pool all their info together. And then we study the timeline together. We look at the grandiose picture. What happened first? What happened second? So I could have said that, but you see from Rashi, not that way. And again, because Rashi saw that the only way to make any sense out of Rabbi Akiva's statement of Meid B'Kenas, Pot the Meid B'Kenas, is to make this assumption that every Bezdin is judged by its own timeline, by its own merits, and what happened before is the Malva Meir. That's the Ktosa's big breakthrough this week. He just read the Rashi. He just discovered the Rashi.
It doesn't matter what happened. Why did the first Edom need to even come and say that they're sorry? Why did Mazimin even need to come?
Well, they thought we're going to finish the case. They didn't know the guys need to jump out, jump ship in the middle.
No, I'm saying even if the why can't the Edom Zomim themselves before they're Mazimin go to a second basin?
You're still part of Avi and Kershus. It's the same kasha. You guys are asking the same kasha. And the five towns of Tinek, you guys are asking the same kasha. Right? It's okay. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. Yeah. You don't have to say anything. Some of the Ktos and says, what I just discovered, says the Ktos, has nothing to do with Edom Zomim. It has everything to do with what? Nothing with Edom Zomim. It has to do with the rules of Knas. The Klolim and Meidim and Knas Potter are determined in this basin. Says the Ktos, let's leave Edom and forget Edom Zomim. We never went to Dekim, never learned Makas. Let's learn Ksubas, the third parak. Why not? Somebody suggested we should learn Ksubas again. So somebody else responded, we just learn Ksubas. Okay, so that idea was what? There were a lot of ideas that were thrown around. If I would tell you some of the ideas, you jump ship. Another base, you got another yeshiva. Okay, so don't worry. There was just that happened not to have been one of them, but what?
Mura.
Somebody did mention Zohar under their breath. There was a strong position in the base matters for that, but not for now. Okay. All right. Nothing bad. Okay. All right. Rabbi Sai, getting back to that story. So come to Ktzos, let's forget Amazon. Let's go back to Ksubas. Let's go back to Bava Kamma, the seventh parak, Dal Vehei. Two aid to walk at the basin and they say, we saw Reuven Tovech HaMocher. And what does Reuven do? Before the case is closed, he scoots out, runs to another Beis Din, registers his what? His Hodah. And then 5 minutes later, Edom come to that second Beis Din and they say what? Reuven was Tovech HaMocher. You know what Beis Din paskins? Catch this one. Everyone hear the timeline? Critical timeline. First, the Beis Din, number one, Edom Me'idim Shetavach. Two. The Beis Din number two, Hoida Shetavach. Three. The Beis Din number two, right? Edom Me'idim Shetavach. What's the Psach of Beis Din number two? What Psach does Beis Din number two issue here, Rabbi Sai? Beis Din number two issues what Psach? Potter. Based on what principle? There was a legitimate Hodah that was registered right over here, Hodah Shetavach. There was nothing wrong with this Hodah, and therefore we followed the regular sugyas of the Seven Pekah Bava Kamma. Hodah V'Chachabo Edim, Moed V'Knas Chachabo Edim is Potter. So, Fractic says, what do you mean it was legitimate Hodah? It was an illegitimate Hodah because it was a Hodah that followed an Edus. What's the answer? There was another Beis Din. That was that's the dinosaurs. That has nothing to do with this world. history begins the creation of man. History begins from once you enter into the portals of this esteemed court. What happened in the previous court was Lamal Vlamerid. And therefore you have a legitimate Hodor registered, which preceded the Edim, and therefore Bezin issues the Psak, Maid B'Knachach Wadim Potter. Says the Ktois, that's what's Yaitim in Rashi. And this has nothing to do with Edim Zeremin. This is the Din of Knas.
Have you seen the Chalak in Edim Zeremin in every other case?
But we could, but not yet. We can. We potentially can. This is the Ktois' reading. Okay? We're getting choppy in the Sugir, but I'm happy guys are excited, but yeah, again, anyway. Yeah. Oh, you want to know if the guy's smart, he'll bring him back to basin number one. Each basin for themselves. So basin number one will bring the guy back. If they can track him down and bring him back, so then they can start the case again.
But is it possible for him to be chayev in multiple basins?
He could be chayev in one and not in two. Yeah, then start three, yeah. Yeah. Each basin for himself, that's success's breakthrough. So basically, again, guys, we have to just, again, I don't want questions here and there, but let me get half a thought across, okay? And we'll take, as we go, I'm not, discouraging questions, but think it through first for a minute before you ask. Okay? That doesn't mean the good questions weren't good. They're very good questions, but let's try to get the thought flowing. So Rabbi Say, did the Ktos go too far? Was it necessary for the Ktos to say what he said in order to understand Rashi? All Rashi was saying is that we have to explain Rabbi Akiva's word. That was Rashi's dilemma. Rashi had a problem in front of him. Rabbi Akiva said, a case, what's the lashon of Rabbi Akiva? Ein mishamen al pi atzman. When the Edom walk into Beis Din, they're not mishamen al pi atzman. So Rashi was scratching his head and saying, wait a second, what do you mean they're mishamen al pi atzman? There was already a Hodor beforehand. Oh, it must be there's a second Beis Din. And the Ktzos picked up in Rashi and said, Abba Zoy, there's a second Beis Din. It must mean that it registers as a halakhically legitimate Hodor with all the rights and privileges of a Hodor. What's the right of privilege? What does Hodor really accomplish for him? Hodor is a what? It's a get out of jail free. Namely, even if Edom will subsequently come next week, once you registered a legitimate Hodor, you're part of the Olam Vod, at least in that Beis Din. So comes the Ktos and said, Rashi really said this. Rashi said, in order to explain Rabbi Akiva, Ein Mishamen Api Atzman, Rashi had to go down this line of reasoning that the Hodor that's offered in Beis Din number 2 is 100% Hodor L'chol Dine Hodor. It accomplishes anything and everything that a regular Hodor does. It passes you from subsequent Edom coming. Because after all, history didn't start until you entered into the walls of this basin. That's how the Ktos Lamshan Rashi. Was that necessary or not? What did Rabbi Akiva say? Did Rabbi Akiva say a word about subsequent Edom coming? That in the second basin, hopeless focus, all of a sudden the Edom are coming back to haunt him? Did Rabbi Akiva say that? Well, they said no questions. They didn't mean no answers. Guys, get to the last questions. It's okay.
No.
Good, he didn't say that. What was Rabbi Akiva talking about? Rabbi Akiva was just saying, are we going to make you pay based on what you said? Rabbi Akiva did not mean necessarily to say that you're going to be part of even if subsequent Edom come. What are we driving at, Rabbi Zayin? So the Chora, one can make the following chiluk, one very, very, very logical chiluk. When this fellow comes and he's made in the second Beis Din, even though we know that there were Edom in the first Beis Din, because he told us this, when the fellow's made in the second Beis Din, we could easily paskin what magic word? At this point, stage 2, what magic word can we paskin? Potter. But not necessarily Potter down here in stage 4. What do I mean by that? We can say, listen, this Hodor that you are giving, this is not the Mahajan Hodor. This is not a type of a Hodor that's going to get you off the hook if subsequent Edom come. What you just said now, Potter, is not the parish of Meid B'Knas Echech Bo Edom.
Why not? Why is it not? What's lacking? What's deficient about this Adar? Because it's following a lot. What is it following? It's following a previous Adim. And maybe the Ktsois, I can't even say this, but maybe the Ktsois is not right. That maybe we don't ignore what happened in the previous Beis Din. Maybe Rashi never said to ignore what happened in the previous Beis Din. All Rashi said is that to fulfill Rabbi Akiva's statement of Ein Eden Zeh Mishalna Piyatzman, to say that the fellow is putter because he's giving a hodah in the second Beis Din, that's great, that's wonderful. But we never said that that registers as a complete hodah. And in Ochinami, if Edom will come, we will have to turn around and say, well, he never registered a hodah, and since he never registered a hodah, he's going to be chayav. How in the world do the Ktsos know that a hodah in the second Beis Din is a full-fledged hodah to the extent of pastoring him liachar hados Edom? Maybe all it is a statement that, okay, we can't do anything about it. We can't make you pay because Beis Din number two has nothing to go on. How can we possibly make you pay? You just said you're chayav to pay, but we don't listen to you. We never make you pay up the piyatzman. Just because we don't make you pay up the piyatzbacha in Beis Din number two, what does that translate to mean? That it's a brand new hodah, it's a full-fledged hodah, and it will even have the ability to subsequently pass you of Edom Kup. Anyone understand what I just asked to get success? I'm looking at blank stares. Who here understood exactly what I just said? Let's say it over again. It's a hard, it's a very, very hard nekuda, but it's a fundamental nekuda, this figure. The guy walks to the forget, crazy, wild, 15-bit, start all over. Start from the very beginning. The guy walks to the Beis Din, and he's made to be kenas. How many things happen at that point? What's the first thing that we have to discuss? Does he have to pay now? Right now. What are we being done on, in effect? Do you say what principle or not? Hodos b'din k'meidim, not b'kenas. So this is shayla number one. So number one question is, chayav achshav o potur achshav? That's question number one. Even a niach that we paskin, that he's potur right now, what's the next question we have to be done? What will happen in the future? Namely, are we willing to write into this record, case can never be reopened, because once you register a legitimate hodah, mode of the knas, the chachbo edim is, what? Is potter? Are we willing to say that he is potter, not just achshav, but he's potter the olam vod? Now, everybody said these are two separate questions. The answer to both of them may be the same. They may be potter, but the two stages of questions that we have to ask. So just because we paskin potter achshav doesn't necessarily mean we paskin potter olam vod. Maybe yeah, maybe no. But it's possible to split between the two. What did Rabbi Akiva say? What magic, how much did Rabbi Akiva actually say? Rabbi Akiva said, Ein Edom Zomen Meshalmen Api Atzman. That's all Rabbi Akiva said. That when Edom Zomen walk to Beis Din and they tell us that they're Edom Zomen, we're not going to make them pay. That's it. That's all Rabbi Akiva said. Did Rabbi Akiva say anything about subsequent Edom coming? Did he say a word about that? You read it with me. Ein Mishal and Piyatza. What does it mean? It means right, the psach of Achshav Chayav Achshav Potter, the answer is Potter. So l'chora, let's make the following case. A very, very simple case. There was a sichsach going on in Beis Din number one. A lot of problems in Beis Din number one. There was an Eidus, there was a Bazimin, we had a whole ball, we had a whole case pending in Beis Din number one. The Edom, who are about to be declared to be Edom Zomen, zoom out, and they come to Beis Din number two, and they say, guess what, guys? We were testified against. We're Edom Zomen material. We got the book about to be thrown at us. We're in big trouble. We'd like to just inform you about all of those proceedings.
What would Rabbi Akiva say at that point? Would Rabbi Akiva make you chayev? What question are we asking? Are we asking question number two yet? No. We're asking question number one. Chayev achshav apotar achshav. I'm going to throw the question around you. What would the Rabbanon say? The Rabbanon say to his mama, what would they say? Say chayev. No different than a guy who says I broke a window. The guy says I borrowed $1,000. So the Rabbanon would say that the minute that the Edom walk in and say, we were Edom's omen last week at another Beis Din, we were accused that we were about to be done with. If that would happen in the worldview of the Rabbanon, they would be chayef to pay, because Bodim and Mammon is chayef, it would be Eldos Bodim. Al Zep Polig Rabbi Akiva, on this Rabbi Akiva disagreed, and he said, no, Edom is omen shaman apiatzman. They don't have to pay based on their own testimony, because it's a kenas, and therefore, Beis Din number two has the right to issue what psak or b'sak on Rabbi Akiva? They issue the psak. Potter. Because Beis Din can't, we can't make you chayav. There's no way in the world we can make you chayav. Because Beis Din doesn't have the ability to make anybody pay kenas or piatznoi. So we are going to say you potter. Are we calling what you did a hodah? Are we giving it the title you were reminded the knas? Are we saying that? Or what are we saying? What are we saying in order to paskin potter? Are we formally, positively declaring what you said as a hodah? No. What authority are we saying? Based on what are we saying potter? We have nothing to go with. Mod b'knas is potter. Mod b'knas potter means, unless they're Edom, you can be potter. So there are no Edom. The second Beis Din is listening. We don't have any Edom. So the second Beis Din must paskin Potter Achshav because ain't Edom. Just because we paskin Potter Achshav because ain't Edom, does that mean we paskin what you just declared as a Hodah? Not necessarily. My nafkamina, whether we're paskin gets Potter because there are no Edom, or paskin gets Potter because there's a Hodah. What's the answer? What's the nafkamina? A huge nafkamina when subsequent Edom come. If we're paskining in Beis Din number two, you're potter because we have nothing to go on, we don't have any Edom. So we're saying right now, you're potter achshav. What will happen in a week from now when Edom come, we'll deal with that then, and you'll be chayav. If we're paskining the potter because what you did was a formal maisa hodah, so then that's going to be, we're going to write it to your file, potter forever and ever and ever, no matter what happens in this Beis Din. So comes Reb Shmuel in the Shurim, in Maseches Makos, Shmuel Rozovsky, he says, I don't understand the Ketzai. Says of Shmuel, where did the Ketzai see in Rashi anything about us declaring that the Hodah that's offered in the second Beis Din is a formal, legitimate Hodah? It has all the rights and privileges of a Hodah to pass to the person we all invite, afilu chshiyavu eidim achakach, v'shteit azoy in Rashi. Rashi didn't say anything about that. All Rashi said was, if you have to paskin with yechayev achshav or potter achshav, Rashi says we have to paskin potter. Why? To paskin potter, you don't have to paskin, it's a hodah. What do you have to paskin? To paskin potter? It's not chayev, there are no edim. We have nothing to go on, it's a kenas. If you hold like the rabbanon, it's edim zom and his mom and say, you have a dos, but make edim dummy. But if you hold it's kenas, and there are no edim, which there aren't any edim now, so then the reason why you potter not out tzuchus hodah, you potter out tzuchus lack of edim. But lo yitzuya edim will come, says Reb Shmuel, mehecha teisa that you'd be potter. Vishtei tiyah potter. And therefore Reb Shmuel says that this undermines the Ketzos' whole theory about one Beis and two Beis and models. The Ketzos' entire theory about all of Knossos was that anything that happened in the previous Beis Din is irrelevant. History begins, the clock begins ticking in the walls of this Beis Din. Therefore, any hodahs that happened before, or any edim that before is commando leisa. Says Reb Shmuel, wrong, it's not true. What happened before is very, very important. And it's so important that because there was an Eidus beforehand, that is what is preventing us, Reb Shmuel, of declaring what? That what we have in front of us is a what? It's a hodah. It's not a hodah. It's not a not hodah. And therefore, if and when Edom come, we're going to make you pay. Says Reb Shmuel, the Ketzos' model is not right. Of course you look at the whole picture. Of course the bet they didn't consult with one another. Not each, it's the wild, wild west. Each pays for himself. Of course, it's a system of what they did. Of course, it matters what happened at the last Beis Din. Of course this is not a hodor. It never was. Rashi never said it was a hodor, says Reb Shmuel. All Rashi said was, even though it's not a hodor, but you're still not chayav, because there are no edim. So you have a major machlokes here between the tzais and Reb Shmuel. What did Rashi say? Did Rashi mean to commit himself to this whole theory of the tzais that each and every beis din for themselves, and therefore we can create a hodor of this beis din, even though physically there was a metzias wise there was an edus before him, but what happened in the previous beis din is ignored? That was the tzais's version. Well, Shmuel's version says, no, we do take into consideration all the but they did in history, but it's not a hodor. But even in the absence of a hodor, it's still not edim, and that in of itself is sufficient to paskin all that's necessary for Bekiva of Chayv Achshav Apotar Achshav. Does anyone understand now? There's nuance of Achleik in the Tzais of Shul. What did Rashi mean? How far did Rashi go?
So we're saying that Adam did come, but they didn't come to the second basin. So they...
Well, they came. We know they came last basin. Now the question is, what would happen if they come to the next, to the second basin? Yeah, so according to the Tzais's version...
The being, we listen to this pair of who were
which basin are we? First or seventh?
Second basin.
According to the Tzos, if the second set of Edom will come, if the Edom will come to be Mazen in the second basin, we'll throw them out.
So they accept that those Edom exist, such that you can't be put there, the people that come to be Modeh. But on the other hand, you don't accept that they exist, so you can be Mechayah. So what state of existence are they?
I lost you. According to Tzos or
Reb Shmuel?
According to Shmuel, the all basin, the second basin has to go on right now is the hodah of the Edom Zomim. So the Edom Zomim come and say, we are Edom Zomim. So we say, Shkach, thank you very much, and get lost. Next week, when the Edom HaMazimim from Basin 1 come in, we'll say, okay, great. Let's hear what they have to say.
But
and if they say Chayav, we're going to say Chayav.
If they don't come in?
If they don't come, we can't do anything about it. How can we be Moitzi Mabur if we don't have Edom?
Because you know, because...
But we don't have Edom. But Moitzi Mabur, we can't pass in Dini Knas without Edom. Okay? So basically, this nuanced detail should be detailed by Chleikis Tzaisim of Shmuel about what Rashi did or didn't mean to say. Rabbi say, is Yisayda Yisaydis? It's about to open up for us something fundamental, foundations, Mamish basic Yisaydis in terms of the entire Sugya of Medvik and Aspater. So we're going to use this as a springboard to understand a little bit more what is Medvik and Aspater, what is not Medvik and Aspater, and try to understand what Rashi did or did not say, and then eventually we'll get to what the other Rishonim have to say about this topic.
What?
Because if they hang around too long in the first basin, they're about to get a gemara din, they're going to have to pay. So it's worth their while to run away. Hopefully the other edim won't come, right. So if I say, let's raise a fundamental question now. When a person walks into Beis Din, and he's made the knas, so we said there are two different things that are transpiring. Number one, there's a question, the here and now, chayv apotar. And number two, there's a discussion that may impact on the future. Is it a p'tur liyol v'od or not? I have a following shal, following chakira. Are these two things dependent, zebazeh? Are these two discussions totally zebazeh or not? Are we really asking for the same piece of information? Namely, do we have a formal halachic hodah? And it's the formal halachic hodah that's going to create both the p'tur now, as well as the p'tur li'olam v'od? Or no? There are really two different questions. In order to create a p'tur li'olam v'od, you have to have a formal positive hodah. You have something that meets the criteria of hodah. That's to create a p'tur for the future. In order not to make the guy chayev now, you don't need a positive statement. All you need is a lack of what? Lack of edim. Everyone is potter to proven chayev. And nobody has lay. Everyone, what's the rule? Everyone is innocent to proven guilty, right? So the edim, or not just edim anymore, the guy who's tovei chamocher, the guy who's ba'anis of a fata, the guy who's chayev shalom shal eved, in every single case of knas, whether or not this registers as a formal hodah, liftor, the kalahaba, you're still going to be potter right now because there are no edim. So what I really want to know is, there are two discussions that are taking place. Any and every case that might be kedas, there are two things on the minds of the Beisdin. Beisdin has two jobs now. To ascertain, are you chayiv now or not? And then number two, are you going to be chayiv or potter in the future? I want to know, are these the same fundamental questions? They're asking the same question. This is hodah or nishkid hodah? That's one way of understanding it. They're saying no. That whether or not you're potter or void, maybe a function of, is it a formal hodah? Is it a positive hodah? Whether or not you're chayiv now may be true. You may be potter now, even without a positive hodah, as long as you don't have edim. The absence of edim is the potter, not the formal hodah. That's my question I want to know. So the chora, the answer to this question, can be found in the Gemara itself, in the seventh parak of Bava Kamma. I think I put on the Memekom a little bit?
Yeah.
Mordechai Chabayin? Okay.
The fifth one. Mordechai?
Mordechai Chabayin. Okay. We've been saying for the last hour, everyone's been talking, we've been talking that lingo. Believe it or not, that itself is a machlekes amorim. It's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Not everybody agrees even that there's such a cloud called Modbe Knas Achach Boedim. Half the amorim hold, the whole thing doesn't exist. Everybody agrees Modbe Knas is potter, but the amorim have machlekes. What about Modbe Knas Achach Boedim? What's the machlekes? Where does the machlekes stem from? What's it based on? The Gemara explains in Merub, it's based on Psukim. Everybody agrees Modbe Knas is potter. The basic baseline halacha, I walk at the Beis and I say, I'm Tavach HaMachar, Beis and throws me out, now the Achshav, what's the Mokah for that? You know that? Asher Yashirun, Pratlam Ashiyas Asmai. So that din, Pratlam Ashiyas Asmai, that's a given, everybody agrees. Prat, Yashirun, Pratlam Ashiyas Asmai. That's a given. It's the second halacha of, is there a din of Moed Meknas HaChakach Boedim? That the Gemara says depends on Machlekes Amarayim. How do you dash it another Pasuk? Im bi Motzei si Motzei, im bi Motzei be'edim, to Motzei be'dayan, Mahol Chad Gadja in the beginning of Parak Meruba. Is there a second Pasuk that teaches us Moed Meknas HaChakach Boedim? Within the view of the Amarayim, that second din doesn't exist. There is no discussion. There is no halacha. It just doesn't register. There's no such din. And if Adim suddenly come, you have to pay. According to those Amoraim, there's only one din. The din is Yashirun Pratlam Ashiyas Atzmai. So there is no Ptur L'Olam Vod that kicks in. So according to that view of Amoraim, what is the din of Moed B'Knas Potter? Is it an official, formal, we write into your record, we enter in a plea of Hodah, and that affects you, we all involved? No. What is it according to that Amira? The fact that if you come now and say, I'm Chayef Kefo Yipotar, what kind of halach is that? It's not a positive, formal Hodah HaPoteres. What is it? It's a lack of Edom. According to the Amira that holds that the second it doesn't exist, so then obviously the first din is not a formal hodor made to be canast potterly unvoid. All it is right now by show show, we don't have anything to go on, so we're going to possibly be a potter. So according to one opinion in the Gemara that we have not the Paskin like, the first din is not a positive din, it's a lack of something. But now the question becomes, what changed according to us? We who accept the existence of the second din, do we re-look at the first din and say, guess what? We who accept that there's now a formal din of a formal hodah that passes the olam voed, so it's that din of the p'tur the olam voed that is the source for this p'tur of achshav? Or do I say no? That we also buy into the first amira. We also accept that the reason why you're potter now is not because there's a positive din of hodah, the olam voed. The reason why you're potter achshav is because there's no edim. We happen to hold, in addition to that din, that achshav ein edim, we also hold as a positive hodah, the passes the olam voed. So it's unclear, we who accept the halacha, the existence of two dinim, is the second din megala that the nature of the first din is different? Or do we say no? Of course the first din is right. Of course the basic baseline is right. Of course the first din is based on the fact that there are no edim, so by default you're going to be potter to prove it chayev. We hold, in addition to that default din, there's also a p'tur that's built in called a p'tur l'yom v'ad. So that seems to be the Nekudas HaMachlaikis between who and who?
Robinson.
Between the Ktzais and Rav Shmuel. That seems to be the issue that the Gedol Yacharanim are discussing. Hopefully, Beit Hashem is a hard. I didn't say it's an easy sugya. Hopefully, Beit Hashem on Sunday we're going to have to try to fight through it. We'll fine tune the sugya a little bit. Fine tune some of these terms. They're very, very hard. Very, very dakas take a lom d'sha sugya. We're going to try to fine tune this a little bit more, and then try to understand how it's going to impact, particularly in terms of Adam's Zayim.
Well, would anyone ever be moda then if someone coming in the future? Meaning, there's no one...
Right, you have nothing to gain, right?
There's nothing to gain. So
he's an honest guy. There is a person, there is a thing called honesty. Right. Guy feels bad. Right?
So that's not it.
I was just...
It would be like a halakha.
I was just reading today, I was reading an article about questions that a person should... Don't think of it themselves.
Yeah.
Questions that a person should ask when they're learning a sugya in Nach. So they were highlighting... You know, the deep questions that, you know, that really, really to get a better understanding of what's going on. And then the questions, they call them the external questions. So they were talking about when you're teaching Yonah, so there are going to be two types of questions. Some kid's going to raise their hand and says, Rabbi, how did Yonah survive inside the whale for 3 days? He couldn't breathe. Okay. So that's like, you know, you're not going to lose too much sleep. I'm not insulting. Okay. You know, it's a cute kasha for a six-year-old. You're not going to really lose it. The profound philosophical question to ask is that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a nevuah, you're a navi already. That means you're a certain darga. Not everyone has a navi, gets a nevuah. You just got a nevuah, and you run away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, what's the havdina? What were you thinking? What was Yonah's plan? Why was he doing what he was doing? That's a very profound question, which Chazal... You know, obviously tackle that question. That's one of the major questions in the whole Sefer Yonah. How he was able to survive 3 days without eating and breathing, you know, without having a piece of pizza or something. It's a cute question for a six-year-old, but you know, we're not going to lose too much sleep over. So, I don't know, you understand what I mean, right? So, why this guy is made to be based in, people do a lot of things. Smart things, dumb things, foolish things, ridiculous things. People do a lot of things in this world. I remember when we were learning Subas, so we were learning Eilon Harris. So we learned the whole sugya, the Kohen Gadol, Ma'anis the Besula, and that whole lumbish with the Isser Essay and Isser Lav, and you have to marry her now. The Essay the Chalodik. We spent days and days in the Kohen Gadol, Ma'anis the Besula, and then somebody asked me at the end of the show, I said, "Oh, come on, why did they fire him from being the Kohen Gadol?" Mm-hmm. If he was like, I said, "Come on, what is he, that's not the question. This is not the news today. That's it's a good question when you're learning a different sugya, but that is not Pelik El Nairis." So you have to know which question. I'm really, really lacing in it. I hope you're okay. You're good, right? Okay, good. Rabbi, let's get this off. Get a little chumash.